Hi, this is Elmore Leonard. I'm listening to Film Sociology, and it's a real program. It's great.
It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplex and the art house. What's new on video and streaming, and you might also hear about some dead people we like.
We don't have time for dead people we don't like.
Anyway, this is Film Sociology, where you'll find out what's the next cinematic marvel.
It was unbelievable!
And what's just a movie.
Shut up! My God, you have no freaking life!
Okay, here's your host and my dad, Matthew Soucy.
Hello there, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Soucy. This show is available on iTunes, and like all of the podcasts here at WFYI, available on Spotify. Well, friends, Happy New Year. It's New Year's weekend, New Year's Eve weekend, I should say. And of course, we had no show last week because of Mod Nature, so I apologize. So the bad news was we had no last show. Yeah, we had no Christmas week show, but I got to stay home and be with the family and try to catch up on some old films. So, you know, as you know here at Film Sociology, the struggle is real. We started not with the music from Shaft, although a little bit of it, but the Delphonics, Didn't I Blow Your Mind, which, of course, is used brilliantly in Quentin Tarantino's Jackie Brown. There's a cool article in Rolling Stone about the 25th anniversary. Jackie Brown is 25 years old, the film, my favorite Tarantino film. There's a good interview with Pam Grier. And if you see me on the street, I'll tell about my Pam Grier story. But anyway, the Delphonics, that song was co-written and produced, if I remember right, by Tom Bell. Tom Bell passed away a couple of weeks ago and was one of the songwriter and producer and engineers of the Philly Soul Sound, the Stylistics, the OJs. Look his work up, and you should have some of his music in your collection. So just a great use of that piece of music. Okay, so what are we doing this week? We will grab a pencil. I got 2 weeks worth of movies that I know you, the listener, and people on social media have been wanting to talk about. Am I doing my top 10 list this week? No. I will do it next week because I want to be the last film critic who submits. I've already put in a ballot for the IFJA, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But trying to catch up on some titles that I had missed since we had our meeting on December 17th. Guess what, friends? Little inside baseball. For some film critics, not all, but some, we don't get to all of them. And we're just I'm trying to catch up. And I'm fairly caught up. Plus of the fact that me personally, Matthew Soucy, host of Film Sociology, I do a top 10 list at the end of the calendar year, or in this case, the first week of January. And if I need to do an update Oscar weekend, I will. This goes back to the story of 2005, where at the end of the calendar year, my top film that year was Brokeback Mountain. And then about a month later, I got to see Tommy Lee Jones's Western, The Three Burials of McKittus Estrada, which blew me away. It was, if Conrad McCormick and Sam Peckinpah had a kid and made this what I thought was a great Western. So anyway, if there's an update in March, I'll do that. But I will do it next week because there's a lot of stuff I want to get to from last week's show. For instance, the IFJA, the Indiana Film Journalists Association, of which I am a member, this was the Monday, so let's see, 17th. My birthday was the 19th. Yeah, this came out on my birthday. We put out our awards, and if you've not seen the press release or if you've forgotten, because every film critic group has a list, here we go. For the IFJA, our Best Picture winner was Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, and our runner-up was RRR. Our finalist, and these are listed alphabetically, After Yang, Banshees of Inisherin, Decision to Leave, Glass Onion, Marcel Duchamp with Shoes On, Tar, Top Gun Maverick, and Women Talking. Our pick for Best Animated Film was Marcel Duchamp with Shoes On, our runner-up Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio. Our Best Foreign Language Film was RRR, our runner-up Decision to Leave. Best Documentary Film, winner was I Didn't See You There, runner-up was Bad Axe. Shout out to my friends in Michigan. Best Original Screenplay, Todd Field for Tar, runner-up Martin McDonagh for Banshees of Inisherin. Best Adapted Screenplay, Sarah Polley for Women Talking, runner-up for After Yang. For Best Director, Todd Field for Tar, runner-up The Daniels for Everything Everywhere All at Once. Best Lead Performance, we are just doing Lead Performance and Supporting Performance. It's open. So, male, female, non-binary, all that. So, our winner was Cate Blanchett for Tar. Our runner-up, Michelle Yeoh, Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. Best Supporting Performance, Ki Hoi Kwan for Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. Runner-up, Brendan Gleeson, Banshees of Inisherin. Best Vocal / Motion Capture Performance, our winner was Jenny Slate, Marcel Duchamp with Shoes On. Our runner-up, Isabella Rossellini, Marcel Duchamp with Shoes On. Best Ensemble Acting, our winner was Women Talking. Our runner-up was Glass Onion. Best Musical Score was for The Batman. Runner-up was for RRR. Breakout of the Year, our winner was Charlotte Wells, the writer and director of After Sun. And our runner-up was Jane Schoenebrunn for the writer and director of We're All Going to the World's Fair. Best Cinematography went to Nope. Runner-up was Top Gun Maverick. Best Editing went to Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. Our runner-up was Decision to Leave. Best Stunt / Movement Choreography. Our winner was RRR. Our runner-up, The Woman King. Our Original Vision Award, the winner was Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. The runner-up was Marcel Duchamp with Shoes On. And the Edward Johnson-Ott Hoosier Award went to Joshua Hall for Glorious. So there you go. That is the awards from the IFJA. You will be hearing a few of those titles on next week's Film Sociology. And while we're, I mentioned Tom Bell and Dead People We Like because we never have time for Dead People We Don't Like, and I don't want to forget this. Diane McBain passed away recently. Best known for her work as Daphne Dutton on the TV series Surfside Six back in 1962. TV and movie credits go back to the late 50s, early 60s. Played Tiffany Richards in Mary Mary. For me, was best known as Diana St. Clair in the 1966 Elvis Presley movie Spin Out. I know. She played Annie Blaine in Thunder Alley. She was a part of the miniskirt mob, was in the film Five the Hard Way. Not Three the Hard Way. That's a different movie. Although I would love to have seen Diane McBain in Three the Hard Way. And then The Wild Season, Wicked Wicked, which I had just watched a documentary about Split Screen. Hi, Mike Malloy. She was a part of that. And then a slew of television in the 1970s. But occasionally would pop up in little films like The Deathhead Virgin. Yeah, I know. Legend of the Wild, The Red Fury, and so on and so forth. So, yeah, look her up. Salute to Diane McBain. And Mike Hodges, the fine British director who, for me, has one of my all-time favorite revenge films, the original Get Carter from 1971 with Michael Caine. What I wound up doing is having a Mike Hodges-Michael Caine double feature of Get Carter and Pulp, which is an interesting film. Kane plays a pulp fiction writer in the Mediterranean, and he is kind of shoehorned into doing a ghostwriting job for an aging Hollywood actor with mob ties, played by Mickey Rooney, who has a lot of fun in this picture. And I think it's and it has some of the tropes of the kind of pulp novel with this, although it's shot in beautiful country in the Mediterranean. And it's a good film. It's not. I don't think a great film like Get Carter. And I think that's the problem. It has the dubious thing of following Get Carter, but it's still an interesting watch. Hodges also did The Terminal Man. For you cult fans, of course, he directed Flash Gordon in 1980. And while I'm at it, the Golan Globus guys, hey, Golan Globus, they have a nice breakdown of Flash Gordon. This last week, they did the Star Wars Holiday Special. This week, they did the 1982 John Milius classic Conan the Barbarian. So anyway, check out Golan Globus Theater. Back to Hodges' films. He later did a bunch of TV and then did The Prayer for the Dying and Black Rainbow, which are both oddities. But his film career ended with two, you would think after doing one of the definitive revenge films, he kind of goes back to the well, and it works out all right with I'll Sleep When I'm Dead in 2003 with Clive Owen. And 5 years before that, there was a film that kind of put Clive Owen on the map, at least in the UK, US. He was already kind of known in the UK for Croupier back in 1998. So salute to Mike Hodges. And speaking of Michael Caine and one of his co-stars who passed away, yeah, Pelé. One of the great soccer player. And if you've never seen Pele, go on YouTube and just look up Pele soccer. But also, this is a great, an oddity of a film, but it's thoroughly enjoyable, called Victory from 1980. It's directed by John Huston with Sylvester Stallone, Michael Caine, Max von Sydow, and Pele. It is set in a World War II POW camp. And Max von Sydow, who is the major running the camp, organizes, like The Longest Yard, organizes a soccer match between the prisoners and the guards. And you have Sly as a Canadian, not U.S., if I remember right. Michael Caine is the captain of the team, and Pele shows up because Brazil was involved in World War II. Anyway, it's fun. It's one of the better popcorn, beer, and pizza movies that John Huston put out, and that's saying a lot. So look for Victory. That's worth checking out. I should say from 1981. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Okay, let's grab a pencil. Let's find out what you've been watching lately. It's going to be a short show, just you and me. And thanks to everybody who submitted, and like I said, being patient, because that's just kind of what we do here. Okay, so we're going to go to last week's list, then I might have to press the pause button and do some more hot scrolling, because that's what we do here at Film Sociology, hot scrolling. We start with Britt, who writes, well, just a gif of Home Alone. Guy writes The Whale. A bit too many issues packed into one script, but excellent acting, especially Brendan Fraser and Sadie Sink. Although, Sadie, if we had seen levels to your performance, it would have been perfect. Okay. This is another one where I love the performances, especially of Brendan Fraser, more than I did the film itself. Yeah, you're right there, Guy. Dustin writes, the 1984 TV movie A Christmas Carol, Awakenings, and Glengarry Glen Ross. And yeah, one of the things we watched at our house, of course, yeah, Muppet Christmas Carol is more Michael Caine. That's a part of the Soci household. We did watch Love Actually at my lovely wife's request. And, never forget, friends. And I know we're starting to have this social media revisionist history as far as pop culture. A Charlie Brown Christmas, The Grinch Who Stole Christmas, the animated one, you know, that they're not movies. They're TV specials. Don't forget that. So if somebody has a poll or somebody, you know, puts up a thing, they're not movies. They're just TV specials. I am reminded that a few years ago, Richmond Civic Theater did stage their version of Charlie Brown Christmas, which they had to pad with singing before the actual story and singing after the actual story, because it's not a movie. It's not a movie. And then I did watch It's a Wonderful Life, because I have a soft spot in my heart, because I've directed the show and I've acted in it. Okay, back to your list. Sorry, friends. Not really. Jamie writes Muppet Christmas Carol. Beauty and the Beast, Enchanted Christmas, Unlikely Angel, The Polar Express, Ernest Saves Christmas, Santa Claus is Coming to Town, and Pinocchio's Christmas. Yeah, that's the other one. All the Rankin and Bass stuff, not movies. Not Rudolph, not Frost, none of that. So, Catherine writes Gremlins, Die Hard, and Violent Night. David writes Maltese Falcon, A Christmas Story Christmas, and Glengarry Glen Ross. Glengarry Glen Ross must be streaming somewhere. Daniel writes, I found Mr. Mom on Hulu. Tell Ann Jillian to call me. And Terry Garr. Andrew writes, broke out the favorite this week, Goodfellas. Thank you. Get your shine box. Gretchen writes, Howard's End. Monica writes, The Bourne Identity and The Proposal. Grace writes, Enola Holmes 2. It was the epitome of jolly good fun, plus bonus points for making me do homework on Matchstick Girls. All right. Abby writes Banshees of Inisherin, way dark, and Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio, also dark, also both great. Sarah writes Luckiest Girl Alive. Mike writes Shop Around the Corner and Home Alone. Nick writes Detective Knight, Rogue, Adult Swim, Yule Log, 25th Hour, Scrooge, Rapid Fire, and Clerks 3. Joan writes, watched Burnt on Netflix as a suggestion. Couldn't even get through it. Predictable and just bad. She writes, Bradley Cooper, you're better than that. David writes, Across the Universe and The Artist. Abby writes, Just Friends, Christmas Story, and White Christmas. Craig writes, The Searchers and Kyanakwatsi. Adrian writes Gaslight, not the American-made Ingrid Bergman and Charles Boyer. This was made in England in 1940, 4 years before. Ben Mankiewicz said that the American film moguls tried to have all copies of the original destroyed. Also saw Love Actually for the very first time. I was charmed by the plots and disturbed over the running commentary on women's weight. Yeah, Adrian, that's... Yeah, I watched it with my wife and kid, so I understand. An Altman light, as my wife said. She got to that comment before me, so that was cool. Nancy writes, Banshees of Inisherin, totally not what I expected, but worth watching. It's beautifully shot and perfectly twisted. So are you, Nancy. And so am I, for that matter. Amanda went to the library, The Holly and the Ivy. My next guest with David Letterman, Out to Sea. My next guest is not at the library. She just photographed. Rachel writes The Tempest. Which one? Nancy writes Empire of Light. Saw White Noise and Spoiler Alert the week before. Don writes 525-77. Taylor writes Christmas Story Christmas, The Thin Man, Frankenstein, Reacher, a 7-hour film, Mucho Mucho Amore, and Robbing Mussolini. Kurt writes Breakfast at Tiffany's, then Mistletoe and Menorahs, one for the holidays and one for a break from too many holiday movies. I understand that. Eric writes Death of a Salesman, the Dustin Hoffman and John Malkovich version. Yes, that was my introduction to Death of a Salesman. And I was 15 when that came out on CBS and was kind of blown away by it. And so much so that my freshman year of college at the Ball State University, I was really excited to get the role of the waiter in Muncie Civic's production of that with Frank Gray as Willie, my buddy Sean Stoner as Hap, Tommy Owens as Biff, still in touch with him, thanks to Facebook. And anyway, but yeah, first community job was Death of a Salesman. I always a special spot in my heart for that play. Megan writes, not sure it counts, but I enjoyed watching the 30th anniversary of Beauty and the Beast. It counts, Megan. It really does. Don't question yourself. Plus, we have people that I ask for movies and they write television series. It happens. Lou Harry writes, Brahmastra Part 1, Shiva and Till. Walker writes, The Turin Horse and the Paperboy. Daniel writes, Christmas in Connecticut, Maurice, Far From Heaven, Robin Hood, we don't know which one, True West, and the Michael Redgrave version of The Importance of Being Earnest. Thank you, Daniel. Charlie Brown Christmas, just as I was saying, The Grinch, and other Dr. Seuss shorts. Janet writes, It's a Wonderful Life, White Christmas, The Muppet Christmas Carol, Muppets Take Manhattan, Muppets from Space, The Usual Suspects, A Bronx Tale, The Sound of Music, Victor Victoria, and Valley of the Dolls. There's one for the holiday season. My God, great choice, Janet. Yeah, I remember showing my kid Valley of the Dolls, was it last year? And yeah, great shade, so good call there. Lucy writes, had an animation marathon the other night. Atlantis, The Lost Empire, Peter Pan, Grave of the Fireflies, and The Tales of Princess Kaguya. Tom writes, It's a Wonderful Life, Black Adam, and Encanto, and he deemed it a meh week. Kurt writes, just this morning I watched Down Periscope with Kelsey Grammer. Tell Lauren Holly to call me. Kevin writes, Up in the Air, Your Christmas or Mine, and I Believe in Santa. Kathleen writes, To Catch a Thief, Roman Holiday, and Breakfast at Tiffany's. Robert Muggy writes, busy week, but I did manage to watch and enjoy two films. One brand new, which was challenging, but came together at the end. The other, a film I last saw when it was released more than 50 years ago. They are Bardo, False Chronicle, and A Handful of Truths, and McCabe and Mrs. Miller. Robert, I think Bardo, I enjoyed Bardo because I think it's probably the best imitation of Fellini I have seen quite possibly ever. You know, Woody Allen in Sunset, Stardust Memories notwithstanding. But it reminded me of 70s, 80s Fellini, and that's a compliment. And, yeah, I love McCabe and Mrs. Miller. Ronnie writes, Adam West is Batman. Silly fun. Not sure how I feel about the premise they hung the story on, but a charming insight into this actor. The documentary, Adam West is Batman. And then Jim and Andy, all the reasons I think Strasberg and the Actor Studio crowd are a clear and present danger to the acting profession. Whew. Joe writes, Violent Night and Christmas Evil. The latter is labeled as horror, but I'm not sure it strictly qualifies given how much you can emphasize with the sinful Santa lead. Thank you, Big Daddy. Linda writes, I watched The Family Stone, which is a favorite of mine. I also watched The Banshees of Inisherin. I did not enjoy it. While the acting is amazing, the show is dark and puzzling to me. Wait, but The Family Stone isn't? Okay. Austin, Medium Cool Podcast coming up soon. Apparently, I will be on there to talk about my list. I got to commit to that. Anyway, Austin writes, after Yang, she said, Banshees of Inisherin. Molly writes, Muppet Family Christmas, The Apartment, Die Hard, We're No Angels, Stratford Festival's Pericles, and Muppet Christmas Carol. Gary writes, it all begins with a song. The 800, Birdemic, the Riff Tracks treatment. Brainiac, Invasion of the Blood Farmers, the original Italian Job. Shrek, Seed People, Avatar, Vacation, Jingle All the Way, and The Fablemans. Dave writes, Borden. Doug writes, the best we've got, the Carl Erskine story. Much of it set in my hometown of Anderson. Tiger Bay, one more Haley Mills film, okay, from 1959. The Life of the Party, and Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio. Al writes, I watched a video about the capture of Adolf Eichmann, so I decided to watch Operation Finale. The real story was interesting, but the movie was ... all right. Kathleen writes, Made in Italy. Frank writes, you know I went all 1960s and finally watched Fritz the Cat. Horrible movie. It's actually 1972, but yeah, I understand, Frank. Nobody is happy with Fritz the Cat unless you have pizza and beer. Mauvin writes, Tuesday night was the first time I watched Taxi Driver. OMG, what took me so long? Incredible. Viewed the 2-disc DVD collection, ate it up. So much good behind-the-scenes stuff. You're talking to me. Yeah, it's, wow, Movie, that's a thing, to be able to watch Taxi Driver for the first time. By the way, don't show Taxi Driver early in a relationship. Not the one I had with Mrs. Ozzy ones before that, just a note of that. But yeah, that's, the other great one was I got to see the 20th anniversary of Taxi Driver at the Music Box Theater in Chicago. They had a new 35mm print, and the full house mostly guys. And then there was a large spattering of cheering the first time you see Travis with a mohawk. You want to stay away from those guys. Just saying. Missy writes, Elf, White Christmas, Rudolph, and How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Anthony writes, Banshees of Inisherin, The Original Funny Games, Major Barbara, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, first time, and A Christmas Story, first time. It happens, Anthony, and you can move on. That's good. Michelle writes, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, 2009 and 11, Home Alone, Christmas Story, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, As Much as I Could Stand, Not My Thing. I understand. Linda writes, The George C. Scott Christmas Carol, still great, and Scrooge, wondrous. Yeah, I think the George C. Scott one shouldn't be forgotten. I know Michael King gets a lot of love for Muppet Christmas Carol. It also helps that he's surrounded by Muppets. But George, I always liked George C. Scott. He was a force of nature, and I do like his take on Ebenezer as well. Linda continues, I'm finally done with all the TV holiday movies. I'm through 6 episodes of The English on Prime, BBC Western. That explains it. There you go. So, okay, we'll thank you on that, Linda. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. So, we'll have an extended version of Grab a Pencil next week, apparently. Sometimes reading and remembering things are a skill. Before we wrap things up, I do want to tell you about some films I've been able to watch that are not award screeners. So I thank the video companies for their patience in letting me catch up on some of these titles. I know the struggle is real, but sometimes you need to cleanse your palate with other things. And I'm happy to say that the films I've been able to watch from the boxes last week or so were of really good quality. So I'm happy with that and diverse. So we start with, from Film Movement, a Romanian drama called Unidentified. And it's a story of a detective who thinks he can solve someone else's case while they're on vacation, a series of hotel arsons, and says to his boss he can crack it in 2 days. And we find out as the story goes on, he is determined to solve the case, not just because he's trying to be a super cop, but he's got a series of debts. His car's about to be repossessed. He's behind on his mortgage. He needs to crack this case. So there's a lot of long, quiet shots of him working and then eventually pushing his investigation so he can get a result on it, whether it's is it a legal or illegal way of planting evidence or collecting evidence. So Bogdan Farkas plays the detective, and he's the best reason to watch this. It is it's a good slow burn. His personal life is bad, so the only thing he has going for him is his case. Not the same film, but it reminds me of The Pledge, the Sean Penn film with probably the last great Jack Nicholson performance. Where he's retired, but this is all him trying to crack this one case he wasn't able to finish. This is all he has. It has that similar determination. So, yeah, look for Unidentified from Film Movement. From Kino Lorber, and it's a CBC documentary about Anne Murray, Full Circle. Now, I make fun of soft rock for A Busy World and country pop, not stuff that's today. But I didn't realize that she's been retired for over a decade. And it's a well-done documentary about her career. Going back to, and of course, it's the CBC, so there is a slew of interview and concert footage. Growing up in Halifax with her first big hit, Snowbird, I should say, from 1970. And then you hear verbal support from the likes of Shania Twain, Bonnie Raitt. Jan Arden was the first Canadian female artist to sell 1 million copies in the U.S. It also helped that she picked up some songs from Kenny Loggins, and that benefited both of them. Danny's Song, that's it, by Loggins. That was a number 7 hit for her. So... And it was eventually having to, you know, did everything on her own, then had to get a road manager. She was a host on a was having an affair with a TV host, and they eventually wound up being together, and eventually having to make the move from Halifax to Toronto and be a part of show business. As I mentioned, a slew of footage and photos, and her wanting to cross over from country into pop, which kind of happened. Couldn't get on the Midnight Special, and then wound up doing a show at the Troubadour. I didn't know this either, but she did some shows at the Troubadour, and it was going to be hopefully a breaking moment for her. And then wound up getting herself photographed with John Lennon, and that got her the hosting gig on the Midnight Special for a while. Love Song, that was the other one from that Kenny Loggins had written, and was her first Grammy Award for that. And also the fact that on her own terms, she wanted to have children. So she wound up having a couple kids. It was she had a contract for Capitol to put out 2 albums a year, which is hell of a lot. Despite the momentum of her success, wanted to have a second child, wound up doing some time in Vegas, added synth to her sound in the mid-80s, which didn't go over well, dropped by Capitol after 23 years, wound up getting up with EMI Canada. And it was just a good look at her story. And I love the fact that there's footage of her today in Nova Scotia playing golf and the camera's from a distance. We don't get real close-ups of her at the end because it's almost we're the film is respecting her privacy. She'll, you know, talk a little bit, but that's about it. And I didn't realize there was an Anne Murray Center because there is one. But anyway, not necessarily crazy about her music, but I like the story. So that's from Kino Lorber and Murray Full Circle. From Synapse on Blu-ray from 1976, Creature from Black Lake. Not a lagoon, a lake. Julie Adams is not in this film, unfortunately. But it does have two of your big stars, Jack Elam and Dub Taylor, and John David Carson. But this, like Jaws a year before this, you show the creature as little as possible. And this was shot in northwest Louisiana. And the story is two college guys from Chicago are going to go down and study and see if they can find the title of the film. Jack Elam plays an old trapper whose best friend is a victim of the creature. Dub Taylor is a guy who had an encounter with it but doesn't really want to talk about it until you pay him. But anyway, local, very inexpensive-looking film. And, the two knucklehead college guys who can't take a hint from the sheriff or the other survivor of do not mess with this guy. But it's a little goofy fun. The Creature from Black Lake from 1976. Also on Film Movement is a film called Adieu Godard, where we have a dirty old man living in a small village in India. This is the dirty old man that watches porn with his friends. That group. And in one day, he accidentally rents a film by Jean-Luc Godard, and it's by mistake, it's Breathless. And while his friends are upset that it wasn't porn, he is fascinated by the film. He had not seen a film like this before and winds up organizing a Godard film festival. Spoiler alert, it doesn't go well. There's also a subplot about the old man's daughter and a scholar, which I need to brush up on my Godard and see if these are homages to that film. I like the old man obsessed with Godard, and that's the only thing for me it has going for it. But yeah, it's just an oddity called Adieu Godard from Film Movement. Also from Film Movement from Austria, a film called Hinterland. We have the story of a former police detective who is returned to Vienna after World War I after being in a POW camp. There is a lot of CGI of war-torn Vienna and the ship as it comes in. And usually that stuff is kind of distracting for me, but the performance is good. And, Marathon Muslu, if I'm saying right, is... But he comes back, and he's trying to adjust to civilian life. Austria has changed. There is no emperor. The soldiers are looked down upon, but he is brought in to help solve a series of murders. And Perg, the character, is the connection. He is a former police detective. One of his peers is now the superintendent and brings him in on the case, not as an officer, but as an observer. There is a female forensic doctor. That eventually happens. Berg is trying to get back to his wife and daughter who are living, wife and child who are living in the country. You know, none of the new cops have any respect for him. So it's a decent enough detective procedure as well as talking about the change in landscape when you come home from battle. It does unfortunately have like kind of a serial killer climax from the 90s. But otherwise, a decent look at adjustment to civilian life with the film Hinterland from Film Movement. From Kino Lorber Classics from 1992, this was a film I had heard of but had never seen, a drama called Laws of Gravity, and it's directed by Nick Gomez. This is the film he did before his much better-known cult film, New Jersey Drive. This is set in Brooklyn. Peter Green, not that Peter Green, and Edie Falco play a couple. He is a small timer and really the more sensible one of the group. Jimmy does owe some money, but he's not as big a knucklehead as his friend Johnny, who decides not to show up for a court date. And things start to get a little more complicated when a mutual friend of theirs returns from Florida with a truck and with guns. And it's a very casual, it's not Goodfellas. It has an improvisational feel. I haven't listened to the commentary track to find out how much of that is true. But we get immersed into these guys' lives in a dingy part of Brooklyn. There's a bit of a noir feel to it because even the smart one of the group is probably not going to be going anywhere successfully fast. And then it's an oddity just watching a young Edie Falco. And it's not the origins of Carmela, but, you know, I think with the accent and the attitude, not that big is a big attitude of Carmela, but you could see where that kind of started. But anyway, it's an interesting low-life noir. It only had a $38,000 budget, and they make the most of it. But there's the, you know, how many times do you have to help your friend when they can't help themselves and they just bad choices are made. So a really good low-life noir called Laws of Gravity, put out by Kino Lorber Classics. Also from Film Movement, and Em and I watched this, and this is probably our favorite of the bunch, a drama called Queen of Glory. Sarah is a doctoral student at Columbia. Parents are from Ghana. And she also has a boyfriend who is married, but they are going to move to Ohio together. And then Sarah's mom, dies suddenly. And Sarah winds up inheriting her home and the bookstore she ran, a Christian bookstore in the Bronx. Dad shows up from Ghana. Yes, that marriage where mom's living in the States, he's living in Ghana. He's not helping out at all. And then we find out that Sarah's apparently takes time off from school to go run the bookstore, that which has one employee and is a success story, at least making better life choices working at the bookstore. Doesn't tell him that she wants to put the store up for sale, but it's the star of this film also wrote and directed it, and it's a lovely look at family. There is an American funeral, and then there has to be a traditional Ghanese funeral that happens. And so the time span from mom's death to the major funeral, and what's going to happen with the neighborhood, what's going to happen with the house, her friends, and of course the bookstore. And yes, the boyfriend, he's a cad, but it really works well. It captures Brooklyn and the Bronx especially the store in a really cool light. And I can't wait to listen to the commentary track on this. So anyway, really well done. And look for Queen of Glory from Film Movement. And finally, from Kino Lorber, a film called Carmen, starring Natasha McElhone, who I've always liked. And this is set in a small Mediterranean village in the 1980s. She is the sister of the village priest. And this is her whole life, taking care of her priest brother. And what happens when the priest dies? And the church says God will be with her, but they nudge her out of the church, out of the living area above the church. And she has nowhere to go, no friends, no future. She makes her own future. And by is a fun moment with a gust of wind and an open confessional door, winds up taking confessions because the new priest hasn't arrived yet, although her sister has. And what happens when she starts taking confessions, taking the money out of the confession box, and starting to make her own movement. I mean, it is the cinematic trope of literally letting her hair down and getting some clothes with color. But Natasha really sells it. It's and beautiful countryside of Malta, of the Mediterranean village of Malta. So, but we find out that she says there's more to life than sin. There is a young gentleman from a young Canadian gentleman who has the one pawn shop in town, and something that strikes up and then becomes a major letdown. But plot wise, not quality wise. But yeah, look for Carmen from Kino Lorber Home Video. Friends, some words to live by.
Silent Breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Go see a good movie. You deserve it. There's plenty out there next week. Yes, I'll ask again to grab a pencil, but I will do my top 10 films from 2022 next week. So I appreciate your patience. Have a great New Year's weekend. Don't be a knucklehead. Look out for other knuckleheads out there. And we'll do this again next week. So thank you for listening. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Good afternoon, Fort Myers. Good afternoon, California. Good afternoon, Michigan. But since I didn't get a chance to do this last week, I'll do it this week. A film sociology holiday tradition. One of my favorite duets of all time. Yep, it's Beatrice Hart and Hans Zimmer. Enjoy.
Jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it's to ride on a one horse and say, hey, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it's to ride on a one horse open say,
yay!
Hey, jingle bells, jingle.
Thank you.
Okay, film lovers. Here's an encore. Here's an Easter egg. Here's a bonus treat. Partial disclosure: I had some technical difficulties while putting this week's film show together, and anyway, I got it fixed, so I'm able to give you the grab a pencil portion from this week. So those of you who are listening who contribute, first off, thank you. And secondly, yeah, I got it right here. So if you're a serious film sociology listener and you keep listening after the music, I appreciate it. So anyway, here is, because this week, I not only did I ask, what did you watch this week? What was your favorite film of 2022? Since I will be discussing this on next week's program, my list, of course. And to my buddy Jay Reed, I know he had mentioned two films he thought were overrated, but they were from last year, technically. It was one of those that was released in December, and then they hit nationwide in January. That happens. Anyway, back to this week. So thanks again for listening. Monica, hi, Monica. You just heard your kid. Monica writes, Muppet Christmas Carol, all four Hunger Game films, The Nutcracker and The Four Realms. And Dustin chimes in, The Nutcracker and The Four Realms is underrated. I love Morgan Freeman's appearance. Here's the other thing, folks. You're going to find out who reads the entire post when I ask for the bonus question of your favorite film of this past year. Molly writes, Muppet Christmas Carol, A Christmas Story, Glass Onion, White Christmas, and the original Black Christmas. Wow, Molly, there you go. Catherine writes, The Long Kiss Goodnight twice, and Glass Onion. Nancy writes, Spirited, loved it, fresh take on Christmas Carol, and there's tap dancing. It happened on Fifth Avenue, first time seeing this. Violent Night, pretty fun. Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special, Kevin Bacon is my favorite person. A Christmas Story Christmas, better than expected. Downton Abbey, A New Era, lather, rinse, repeat, and it works. Glass Onion, super fun. Love the Sondheim and Lansbury cameos and Kate Hudson's dresses. The bonus, her favorite film of last year, Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. Lou Harry writes, favorite is Matilda, recent watches, High Society, It Happened on Fifth Avenue, Strange World, and Matilda twice. Nick Rogers writes, The Big Four, Krampus, Warriors of the Future, Home Alone, Die Hard, Home Alone 2, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, Die Hard 2, thank you, Nick, Blood Delirium, The Boxer from Shantung, Glass Onion, and The Boss. John writes, my favorite was All Quiet on the Western Front, and then watched Home Alone, A Christmas Story, and several classic animated specials. Animated specials, friends, not movies. Don't forget that. Maria writes, Muppet Christmas Carol twice, A Christmas Story, The Grinch Who Stole Christmas, the original animated, and the Jim Carrey version. Jim Carrey's is a film, Boris Karloff's is not. Babes in Toyland, and The Nightmare Before Christmas. Dustin writes, Miracle on 34th Street, the original, and Justice for All, The Fisher King, Monsters Ball, Love Actually, An Apology to Elephants, Whiplash, and A Very Merry Christmas. And the bonus question, his favorite film of 2022 was Elvis. Eric writes, in my quest to catch up on a lot of 80s movies that I was quote-unquote too cool to watch, The Goonies and Scrooged. You're okay, Eric. You're still cool, even if you didn't see those films. Also, Glass Onion, The Glass Onion, he's old, and The Day After Tomorrow. Rachel writes, The Holiday, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, Notting Hill, and The Year the Earth Changed. As far as favorite film of the year, I'll say Elvis. While I found Tom Hanks a bit distracting in his role, overall it was a great film and a beautiful one. Daniel writes, Glass Onion, It's a Wonderful Life, Miracle on 34th Street, White Christmas, The Imitation Game, Bandit, Smile, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, A Pack of Lives, 10 Things I Hate About You, and Suspect. Scotty Scooter writes, favorite film of 2022 is Everything Everywhere All at Once. Amanda went to the library or took pictures of her screen. Dolly Parton's Mountain Magic Christmas, The Family Stone, The Nutcracker, The Patrick Stewart A Christmas Carol, A Very Ingalls Christmas, White Christmas, Elf, How Does a Grinch Stole Christmas, While You Were Sleeping, Love Actually, It's a Wonderful Life, Trans-Siberian Orchestra, The Ghost of Christmas Live, Miracle on 34th Street, the original, Christmas Vacation. Thank you, Amanda. David Wright saw Avatar, The Way of Water last night, all the standard holiday fare, Christmas Story, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, It's a Wonderful Life, Elf, Christmas Vacation, Rudolph, Frosty, Santa Claus is Coming to Town, The Santa Claus, etc. Kristen writes, we watched Glass Onion last night. I don't know why people are adding the to that title. It's not. And FX's A Christmas Carol a few nights ago, which is now my new favorite Christmas carol. Thank you, Kristen. Robert writes, Glass Onion, no the, really enjoyed it. Best cameo is in a movie that I've seen in a long time. All right, friends, just a reminder. When you see Glass Onion and you see the cameos of Angela Lansbury and especially Stephen Sondheim, look for the film The Last of Sheila. It's a murder mystery, owes a lot to Glass Onion, and it was co-written by Stephen Sondheim and Tony Perkins. Robert Muggy writes Bullet Train, Holiday, The Awful Truth, His Girl Friday, and The Front Page, the original. Jessica writes Better Watch Out, The Original Black Christmas, White Christmas, Bright Burn, and Glass Onion. Tom writes Adult Swim Yule Log, an unexpected and surprisingly creative slasher horror movie based on the holiday Yule Log videos, and The Thin Man, ought to be required viewing. Thank you, Tom. Kevin writes Licorice Pizza and deemed it blech. That's a shame. Wolf of Wall Street and Kurt Vonnegut Unstuck in Time. Rebecca writes A Christmas Story Christmas, Better Off Dead, and Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Tom has an encore. Andy Hardy gets Spring Fever, the seventh Andy Hardy film of 16, and the notorious Helen Gilbert's film debut. MGM at its height, churning out extremely profitable Andy Hardy films like Disney does Marvel films. That's not the greatest of praise. Gary writes Puss in Boots, The Last Wish, House of Secrets, Glow, Four of the Apocalypse, Bluebeard from 1944, Cosmo Jones, Crime Smasher, Babylon, 101 Dalmatians, the original, and then favorite film of 2022, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. Britt writes Muppet Christmas Carol and Glass Onion and Rise of the Guardians. And Home Alone 1 and 2. Terry writes Track of the Cat and Christine. Terry, the bonus question. I feel like my sample size of 2022 films is too small to pick a true favorite. I got a lot of catching up to do. Then what is your favorite as of right now? And then you can rewrite me in March. Andrew writes Men in Black, The Bounty Hunter, The Muppet Movie, Saving Mr. Banks, Mask of Zorro, Top Gun Maverick, The Original Pete's Dragon, Ford vs. Ferrari, Yesterday, and Godzilla vs. King Kong. Wendy writes, I actually watched movies last week. We saw Meet the Robinsons. It was adorable and deserves to get a cult following. I also saw the first Knives Out, which was nice but way too predictable. Okay. Dee Dee, Drinks with Dee Dee Servino. How are you, love? Dee Dee writes Top Gun, but she didn't say which one. Like Stephanie, who writes Top Gun Maverick. Doug writes Children of a Lesser God, and four from this year, Top Gun, Glass Onion, The Fablemans, and The Banshee of Inisherin. As far as best of 2022, I still have a lot to see, but certainly two of the best are Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, and The Banshees of Inisherin. Glass Onion was also lots of fun. Thank you, Doug. Melissa writes Christmas Story Christmas, Die Hard, Home Alone 2, Better Watch Out, Frozen, Krampus, some more Hallmark movies, but she won't tell us what, Scrooged, and Honor Society. Megan writes Wakanda Forever, and finally, Bill Simmons, I'm sorry I said your last name, on the internet. Bill writes, watched What's Up, Doc? Last night. And there you go, friends. That's what you've been watching this week, especially for the holidays. Thanks for if you've been listening this long, thank you so much for listening after the music. Again, next week's Film Sociology, I will do my top 10. I will hopefully be the last film critic to do their top 10 of 2022. We'll grab a pencil. Who knows what else? That's the beauty of Film Sociology. So again, have a happy new year. Watch out for knuckleheads and don't be a knucklehead yourself this weekend. And we'll do this again soon. Take care, everybody. You're still listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Good afternoon. Happy New Year, Fort Myers. Happy New Year, California. Happy New Year, Michigan.
I can't believe you let her watch Manos. Is she scarred for life?
Let's put it this way.
What kind of parent are you?
when I wake her up, I vocalize the theme to wake her up to get her ready to school.
Oh, you're a terrible father.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live!